Thankful to have and glad to have our brother Jonathan Whiteside, son of the Reverend William Whiteside, as we've mentioned to you, just recently retired from the pastorate in the Banbridge congregation. Jonathan now lives down the Ards Peninsula and is a member of and attends the Port of Oge congregation there. All that have participated for us tonight have come a fair wee distance. The folks down from County Antrim and Jonathan from the extremity down there in County Down. When you're coming up the peninsula from Port of Oge, it takes you half an hour or 40 minutes just to get back into civilization again. You have a fair wee journey to take along that twisty road. The Park family would have known a lot about that. The Reverend Park ministered down there in Port of Oge for a number of years before going down to Ballymoney. But we're glad to have our brother. We welcome him warmly. We appreciate him taking the time to be with us tonight. And he's going to come and testify to us just now.
Well, it is a pleasure to be here tonight. I'd like to thank your minister for his kind invitation and indeed his kind words of welcome. And Port of Oge is the extremity. I can assure you, I left at 5 o'clock tonight thinking I'd give myself plenty of time. And I got to 6:30 and I still wasn't near Armagh. And my heart started to pound. And then I couldn't find the church. So you think I'd be used to that by now, living in Port of Oge. It is good to see David and Leah as well, the good friends of the family. I can't believe your minister asked the Ballymena man if it was £10 or £12. That goes without saying. It's always £12. I'll say no more. There's no doubt Mr. Park will have a go at me some other time, so I'll just leave it there. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to commence reading from the first 17 down to the end of the chapter. And just as you're turning to that passage, can I ask you, dear unsafe friend, for the remaining part of this meeting, would you consider giving your life to Christ? How people come into church out of routine. And the unsaved coming out of church out of routine. Maybe by their parents getting them out to church, whatever the case may be. But even now as you sit, what do you consider eternity? As we read God's word, the words within, would you take heed? And before this meeting is over, to make that step to ask Christ into your heart. Maybe you sat here for years, but you've never considered. Why not tonight consider it? Consider Christ. Consider all that he's done for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And it's that verse 17 that I'd like to leave before you tonight. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And indeed, we pray that the Lord will bless the reading of His Word. Tonight, I don't want you just to listen to a story about Johnny Whiteside. But I want you to listen to what God has done with an old sinner. And over the next 20 or 30 minutes, I want to make sure that the Lord is the center of everything said from this pulpit. I want to drive and bring you to Calvary and everything I say. There's many in the meeting tonight, and maybe like myself, you've been brought up in the Free Presbyterian Church, very first in God's Word. You understand the gospel very well. And you know, at times we can let the word salvation, or say being saved, just roll off the tip of our tongues, but we're not really considering the true meaning of these blessed words. Maybe we've become familiar with using such words. Salvation is more than just a word. Salvation is without doubt the greatest blessing known to man, known to women, known to boys and girls. There's no more important title than having the title of being a Christian, of having the title of being saved. There's nothing more important tonight than the salvation of your soul. Salvation is more than uttering a few emotional words. And yes, that's part of it, but it's more. Salvation is more than coming out to church and having Christian friends. Salvation's more than living a routine and going through rituals. True salvation is a heavenly sent miracle. It's when the Spirit of God speaks and grabs a sinner from the road of destruction, from that road to hell, and sets them upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus. Salvation is when the work of the cross becomes personal. It's when Christ becomes personal. Salvation is by putting your faith and trust in Christ as your Savior, your Redeemer. Our brother sang about the blood. There's no other way. Only the blood of Christ. And when you do have salvation, what actually happens is that the Spirit of God comes in and indwells within you. And you literally become a new creature in Christ. Salvation's of God. Because you become a new creature, you therefore have a new love for the things of God. You have a love for God's Word. You have a love for the place of prayer. You have a love for service. You have a love for the lost. You change. You change. Of course, Christians can grow cold for a period of time, but it'll only be for a period of time. And there needs to be the evidence of grace within your life. How the Lord warns us on that great day that many shall say, Lord, Lord. He will say, depart from me. I never knew thee. And at the start of my testimony, I'd ask you to search your heart and answer this question. Are you saved? Are you a new creature in Christ? Have you experienced a new birth? Can you say with full assurance, I am a child of God? 13 years ago, I rejoiced in saying I became a new creature in Christ. As has already been said by your minister, my father is a minister in the Free Presbyterian Church. Well, just retired, actually. I have 3 other brothers, 2 older brothers, and 1 younger brother. Dear love, my mother. She had to put up with 4 boys, and I'm sure, as you can imagine, the house at the time was a bit hectic, chaotic. And I remember one story in particular I always tell. It was when my father was in Kilkeel, and my father's away ministering somewhere and preaching somewhere. And we were playing up at home, and we actually reduced my mother to tears that we were behaving that badly, to her shame. And she said those dreaded words, wait till your father gets home. Now I can assure you, when we heard those words, we trembled. And so we went to bed, and she said, especially you, Jonathan, You've tortured me tonight. Wait till your father gets home. Well, I went to my bed. I thought, I'm in for it. I'm in trouble. So I came up with a plan. I got hardback boots and I put them over myself. And I put the blankets over the hardback boots. And I thought to myself, well, hopefully my dad won't put the light on. In those days, there was no naughty steps. The naughty step didn't exist. It was a clout. And so, sure enough, I heard my father come in. I heard my mother saying, those boys have given me a terrible time tonight, especially that Jonathan one. And I heard the footsteps come up the hall. I thought, oh, I'm in trouble here. The light went on. My father opened the door. He said, right, my boy. And he pulled back the blankets. And there he seen all these hardback books. And me lying back. And he actually laughed. It worked. I got away with it, so it did. But at times, the house with the four boys was a bit hectic. But you know, I can honestly say, I've been brought up in the gospel. My father was retiring and he said on Wednesday night that he's been preaching for 40 odd years. And he would like to think that Christ was at the center of his preaching and of his ministry. And I can assure you it was, because Christ was the center of our home. We were sent to Sunday school. We were sent to youth fellowship, children's meetings. We were sent to the prayer meetings. On Wednesday night, we used to sit in the prayer meeting. And something that you don't see anymore, didn't matter about school the next day. You just went to school tired. We had to go out to the prayer meeting. And we had family worship as well. At the end of it, my dad used to make us sing the doxology. And I can assure you, I don't sing like our brother. And it orders my brothers. And it wasn't that great. But I thank the Lord for such a blessing. All the money in the world wouldn't buy being brought up in a godly home. And maybe you're a young person here tonight and you don't want to be here and you're thinking, my parents are forcing me to come out of church. Be assured and be thankful for your parents. At the age of 9, we had just moved back from Canada to Ballygan. At the time, we're living in Lurgan in my aunt's house because the manse wasn't ready. And we're coming home one night, one Sunday night from the Ballygan church. And me and my brothers were fighting the back. My dad was giving the old threat, don't make me pull this car over. We're going, yeah. We're fighting away. And we got home. And I remember going upstairs to my aunt's house. My dad was there. And out of the blue, I said to my dad, I want to get saved. Dad said, right, and got down beside the bed, and I asked the Lord into my heart. And the next day, my dad went out, and he bought me a Bible, and put my name in the front, the date that I was saved. And so I read that Bible for 2 or 3 weeks, but after a couple of weeks, the Bible set aside. I was back to my old ways. Even at that young age, I had a foul mouth behind my parents' back. And there was no change. And that's why I explained what true salvation was at the start of my testimony. And that's why I read this portion of God's Word. Because when you get saved, you become a new creature in Christ. There's a change. There has to be. And in my life, there was no change. I left primary school and I started to attend Cumber High School. Now, I can honestly say I hated school. People say it's the best years of your life. Well, I don't agree on that. And I did not like school one bit. And it wasn't long before they found out that I was a minister's son. And I wanted to prove that I was no goody two-shoes. I wanted to prove that I was just as bad, if not worse, than the other pupils. I didn't like that title. Me and my friend, we used to Mitch off. We went down to Ballygown Square and there was 3 buses. One went to Cumber, one went to Saintfield, and one went to Belfast. And we used to zip our coats up and we used to jump in the Belfast bus. And we used to get off the Castlereagh Road and there we'd spend days playing snooker. I can say by the end of it, the highest break I got was 30. That's about all I got out of school. And Sometimes we even missed the bus home and we would have hitched a lift. Crazy. I've ever found my children doing anything like that there, I'll kill them. But you know, the saddest part of high school was that I never once told my friends their need of Christ. I understood the gospel so well. I knew God's word. And for 5 years, those fellows I sat beside, I never once said that they needed Christ. I never once said that they're going to hell. I never once said that they needed saved from their sin. I'll never forget the morning when I got the phone call. My best mate, Jeff, I sat beside him in every class. It was boxing night. He was going home. It was storms that night. And he went around a corner and he hit a tree and went out into eternity. 19 years old. And I never once told him that he needed saved. I'll never make that mistake again. Young person, you think that you have your whole life in front of you and you're rejecting the gospel. But please listen to me. You might never see tomorrow. And if you die in an unsaved state, you will open your eyes in hell. And you will be lost for all eternity. And that's why I'm pleading with you tonight to consider giving your life to Christ. Not only to consider, but I wouldn't waste another moment. I would bow right now if I was you. And I'd ask Christ into your heart now. You need saved. I left school at the age of 16 and I started my apprenticeship in Short Brothers in Belfast, now called Bombardier. I remember going in and we had a tech day every Monday and I couldn't believe, even at that young age, the fellas that were involved in drugs. Our tech days, half the class were stoned off their head. The teacher used to make fun of it. At that time, I wouldn't have went near it. I was surrounded by church friends. I went to the church. I had a church life. I even had a Christian girlfriend. And I wouldn't have considered touching drugs or drink or going out to the clubs. However, in work, I was a different person. I did play cards. I gambled. I cursed. And I was leading a double life. My parents thought that I was one person, but yet I was a different person when I was away from them. I remember going to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night with my friends, sitting there with my head and my hands, and they're all praying. I had no interest in being there. And the next day, I would have been found at work at lunchtime, gambling, playing cards, and cursing. I was living a lie. I remember in work, one day in the factory, I was walking past, and I seen this wee man, and he was singing gospel hymns. And I said to myself, he's a free pea. I know it. I know by the look of him. And I thought to myself, I have to stay away from him, because he'll catch me out. And sure enough, that wee man one day came around to my bench, and he bent over the bench, and he says, you, Reverend Whiteside's son, I was close to lying. I was close to saying, no, I'm Peter. And I was close to telling him a lie. But that man was called Sammy Beattie. He's the clerk of session of our Portofogli Church. And Sammy would have preached to me. I wasn't fooling him. He knew exactly what I was up to. And he used to preach to me when he came around. He used to leave a verse with me. Tell me about the gospel. Tell me my need of salvation. Remember, he was leaving one time. And we all chipped in to buy him a clock. Now, he said it was rubbish. I paid £1 and my three other people paid £1. So in my mind, it cost £300 that clock. He said it stopped working after a week. But I remember presenting the clock to him. And the factory, there was maybe more, 400 or 500 men in that factory. And Sammy stood up in front of them all. And he started to preach to them. I couldn't believe him. Couldn't believe how courageous he was. And he told them all of their need of salvation. I remember a big lump of a fella walking away with the tears tripping me. I couldn't even say cheerio to him. My life then took a dramatic change in my early 20s. I was playing football. And I got away from the group, from the church. And one night in the football training, the fellas asked me, would I like to go to the coach with them in Bonbridge? They says, look, well, no, your dad's a minister. You don't have to go home. You could stay at our house. We'll sneak you in. We'll get you back out again. So I went down to the coach that Saturday night. And I can't remember getting home. And so it started, the lies to my parents, Saturday night after Saturday night, heading out to the nightclubs in Bonbridge, getting into a state. And then one thing led to another, and one night we're at football again, or some other fellas, and they said, we're heading up to Kelly's in Portrush. Do you want to go? And I thought, why not? I head up with you, go out for a good night's crack. And on the way up to Kelly's that night, a fellow sitting beside me in the back of the car, he took out a bag of drugs, a bag of E tablets. And he says, Johnny, do you want one? And I said, no, no, wouldn't touch them. No way am I going near that. But he kept at me and he kept at me. And eventually he broke it in half. And he says, will you just take half of one? To my shame, I took that. So it started. Saturday night after Saturday night, fill my body full of drugs and drink. Johnny Whiteside, a minister's son. And you know, the devil took me further than I was ever willing to go. All because I kept the wrong company. Be careful of the company that you keep. I remember one night in particular, and I think it was New Year's Eve, and I was in Kelly's nightclub, and I remember standing on the dance floor, and people were dancing that hard, my feet were literally coming off the floor. And all of a sudden, I had substance in me, and all of a sudden, I started to think of John 3:16, out of the blue. And I started to think of, for God so loved Johnny Whiteside, that he gave his only begotten son for Johnny Whiteside. That if only Johnny would believe in him, he would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I sobered up immediately. I sobered up immediately. I couldn't wait to get out of that nightclub. I actually told the fellas I want to get home. I'm not feeling well. And I thank the Lord that I never went near Kelly's nightclub since that night. And the Lord started to deal with me. I wanted to get away from my friends. And I was going to go over to England to work. And before I went, a Christian friend, he says, come on to the Easter convention with me. And so I agreed to go before I went over to England. And when I was at the Friday night, I was at the Easter convention, I met a girl. And I seen that she was giving me the eye. And I thought, well, can't ignore that. So I got her phone number and I arranged to meet her. And you'll never guess who her dad was. Remember that wee man I said I worked in shorts? He used to torture me. It was his daughter, Lee. And I remember the first time going up to pick her up from the house, and there Sammy was standing at the front door with a big walking stick. He says, right, my lad, in here I want a word with you. Of course, he was only joking. But I started to go out with Lee. I cancelled my plans going to England. And because Bonbridge is such a distance from Portavogie, Sammy says, look, you can sleep on the couch on a Saturday night. I'll feed you. He says, I'll even wash your clothes for you. I'll even give you a packed lunch for the Monday morning. But one condition. That you go out to church with us morning and evening. So, I was under the sound of the gospel once again. Both Lee and myself. And eventually we got engaged and we're making marriage plans, and we went around to see Mr. Goods, Reverend Goods, who was the minister at the time. We wanted to ask him to marry us. And so he said, come on around one Sunday afternoon. And so we went around and Mrs. Good is so nice and gave us a lovely cup of juice and a cup of tea. We sat down. Mr. Good says, right, I have to ask you a few questions just before I agree to marry you. I basically wanted to see if we were equally yoked. And so he sat down, looked at me, and he says, okay, Johnny, if you were to die today, where would you be? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe he asked me that question. And immediately in my head, I said, hell. I pulled out the old bus pass that I thought I had. Oh, I made a profession when I was 9 years old. And he looked at me straight in the face and he says, by their fruits you shall know them. He wasn't letting me off. And so he asked Lee the same question and Lee gave the same answer. But you know, that from that day I came under great conviction. I was a bit of a wrecker in the car. I had a wee Renault 5 GT Turbo. Then I thought it was his bee's knees, and most people don't even remember what that kind of car that is. But I was a wrecker in the car, but you know, I wouldn't break the speed limit after that day. Made sure I had my seatbelt on. I remember lying in my bed at night, shaking and trembling that I was going to die. I was terrified of dying. Easter 2000, the Reverend Harton was visiting Porto Vogue, and he spoke on the message procrastination. And he's basically saying, if you put off salvation today, you might never get another opportunity. And don't put off what you can do today to another time. And I remember I'm reaching over the pulpit and pointing, and as if there's nobody else in the meeting. And he says, young man, says, what if there's no other day, no other time? I couldn't even look at him walking out the door. I remember driving up the road to go to Sammy's house, and Lee was beside me, and out of the blue, Lee said, I'm getting saved. I couldn't believe it. I wasn't even thinking of Lee. And I, in my sin, and to my shame, and in my rebellion, I said to her, that's fine, you get saved, but I won't be marrying you if you do. Here's me trying to put somebody off, come to Christ. But I thank the Lord that the God gave Lee the grace, and she says, well, so be it then. And she went up the road that night, and she got into her house, and she spoke to her dad, and her dad led her to the Lord, and she got saved that night. And I remember sitting in Sammy's house now, and on a Sunday night, the house is usually bunged. There's maybe 20, 30 people in it. The big family always have a supper on a Sunday night. I remember sitting in the living room, and for some reason, everybody left me alone. They could see it in my eyes. I remember sitting in that living room. I remember sitting in the chair, looking out the window. And I started to think of the cross. I started to think of what Christ done for me. I started to think of the Garden of Gethsemane. I started to think of the pain and the anguish. The Son of God came to this filthy world to die a terrible death for me. And now he was calling me to himself. I got up, walked down the hall, and Sammy says, do you want to speak to me? And I says, no, I just need some time by myself. I got on my knees in that bedroom. I'll never forget it. I cried unto the Lord. Lord, save me. And he did. And I became a new creature in Christ. And he washed my sins away. And I'm bound for glory. You know, I'll never forget that night as I was sleeping. It was the best night's sleep I ever had. I had no more fears of dying. I remember getting up the next day, driving to work. That sounds stupid, but didn't even have my seatbelt on. Didn't care. My heart was rejoicing. I remember walking into work. One of my biggest fears was what people would say, the embarrassment. And I remember walking into work, and there was this one fella, he's known for being the mouthpiece. And I walked up to him and I said, I got saved last night. And he went, what? He says, I became a Christian last night. And he'd done exactly what I thought he'd do. He went around and told everybody for me. And so those men from the Shankill, wherever in Belfast, came up to me one by one, shook my hand and said, well done. Wish we had the same what you have now. And the Lord took care of that. That fear that kept me back for many a year, the Lord took care of it. You know, it says there on that chapter, in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We're saved to serve the Lord. And you know, the minute I got saved, I had a great love for the place of prayer and the prayer meetings. I had a love for God's word, a love for service. But one of the things I most noted was I had a love for the lost, concern. You see, I did change. Have you got the salvation I speak of tonight? Do you know Christ as your Savior? The Lord's opened doors for me to serve in the youth work. I remember we started a couple of years ago to open the community hall on the Saturday night to get some of the kids in off the street. And we play football with them. We give them crisps and coke. And at the end, we then present a short word, 5-minute word. I remember setting that 5-minute word, and there was a big fella, 6'2", called Scott. I never met him before. And he was sitting in the front of the young people. And at the end of it, he came up to me, he says, Johnny, I want to see you outside. I thought he was going to knock my block off. I thought I'd really upset him. And so we went outside and he says, Johnny, you told me that I'm a sinner. And I says, no, Scott, God's word told me that you're a sinner. He says, you told me that if I die my sin that I'm going to hell. And I said, no, Scott, God's word tells me that if you die without Christ, you're going to hell. He says, Johnny, you told me that I need to repent of my sins and ask Christ into my heart. I says, no, Scott. God's word tells me that you need to repent of your sin and ask Christ into your heart. And they're outside that community hall and he said this. He says, Johnny, will you pray with me and point me to Christ? 5 minutes. How long have you sat in this church trampling under the blood of Christ? How many opportunities have you lost? I said at the start of the meeting, would you consider giving your life to Christ tonight? Well, time's up. Here's a question. Are you going to get saved tonight? Are you going to leave this building a new creature in Christ? I pray in Jesus' name that you do. Amen.